You literally are staring into virtually the unvarnished energy of Satan himself when you come up against the forces that are pushing the homosexual agenda forward.
My brothers and sisters are being beaten and bloodied beyond belief by the big bat of religion. And most of them have to come to a place of saying, all right, I have got to give God the finger and be true to myself or live in hell. Please don't give God the finger. Give him your hand instead, because he loves you just as you are.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Mormons swap non-discrimination for religious exemption. U.S. Republicans board a ship of fools with harbingers of hate. And true love speaks up in gay conversations with God. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael Allen.
And I'm Carol Myers.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending January 31st, 2015. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, made headlines this week with an announcement about what was generally reported as a more welcoming policy toward LGBT people, even though the announcement was very clear that religious rights must also be guaranteed. In a televised press conference and online statements published on the official Mormon website, church leaders said that local, state, and federal governments need to protect LGBT people from discrimination in such areas as housing, employment, and public accommodation in hotels, restaurants, and transportation. But the church elders also said that people should not be charged with discrimination if it's based on their religious beliefs. People of faith must maintain their constitutional rights, the statement said. This would include living in accordance with their deeply held religious beliefs, including choosing their profession or employment, or serving in public office without intimidation, coercion, or retaliation from another group. LGBT advocates say the church is simply endorsing licenses to discriminate. So-called religious freedom bills have already been introduced in about a half dozen U.S. states.
2 days after the Mormon Church's announcement ostensibly backing non-discrimination laws, Idaho became the first heavily Mormon state to consider such a bill. It would have added four words, sexual orientation and gender identity, to the state's anti-bias laws. But the Republican-dominated Idaho House State Affairs Committee voted 13-4 along party lines on January 29th to kill the bill. The Washington Post reported that all five Mormon committee members voted against it. One of them, Republican Representative Ken Andrus, told the Post that the concern was that it would conflict with religiously held views. Activists have campaigned for LGBT anti-bias protection in Idaho for 9 years. More than 190 protesters, often with their hands over their mouths to symbolize equality voices not being heard, were arrested during a series of civil disobedience demonstrations at the State House during the 2014 legislative session. Civil marriage is now open to same-gender couples in 36 U.S. states, but only 18 states prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in employment, housing, and public accommodations. Three states ban bias based on sexual orientation, but not gender identity. And 29 states, including states with civil marriage equality, have no LGBT anti-bias protections at all.
But U.S.-based global oil giant ExxonMobil has finally added LGBT workers to its anti-discrimination policies. Workplace equality advocates say that the move was forced by President Obama's July 2014 executive order banning federal contractors from anti-LGBT bias. According to the Associated Press, ExxonMobil has won more than $8 billion in federal contracts since 2006. Tico Almeida, whose Freedom to Work organization is suing the company for alleged anti-gay discrimination in its hiring processes, told BuzzFeed that Exxon's management deserves little credit for finally adopting the LGBT fairness policies they have rejected year after year for almost two decades. But, he added, this is an important victory for the company's current LGBT employees and future LGBT job applicants.
Elsewhere, a first-ever lawsuit charging anti-gay workplace discrimination has been filed in China. The plaintiff said he was fired from the design company he worked for soon after he was outed as gay online. Mu Yi, a pseudonym, was dubbed Little Red Riding Hood after a video of him shouting at his partner on the street was posted online and went viral. The indictment accuses the company of violating Mu's right to equal employment and requests an apology and 50,000 yuan in compensation for spiritual damages. A court in the southern city of Shenzhen heard arguments last week. An officer of the Chinese branch of PFLAG, parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays, hailed it as the first ever such lawsuit in China. A ruling is expected within 3 months.
But homophobic persecution continues in many parts of Africa. 12 young men were arrested by Islamic State police during a raid in northern Nigeria this week and charged with planning a gay wedding. An 18-year-old detainee, whom police called the bride, said he and his friends were only celebrating his birthday, not planning a gay wedding. Homosexuality is punished in northern Nigeria under Sharia or Islamic law, with death by stoning, though enforcement of that sentence is reportedly rare. All 12 suspects remain behind bars awaiting formal charges. Some of the other party guests managed to escape and remain in hiding.
And according to Uganda's Rainbow Health Foundation, 9 young gay men were attacked on January 15th by a homophobic mob, arrested, and subjected to anal examinations to determine if they're gay. Such practices have been deemed scientifically useless by medical professionals around the world and degrading forms of torture by global human rights groups. Police said they initially detained the teens to protect them, but then considered filing sodomy charges. The young men had to be moved to district police headquarters when the mob threatened to break down the local police station doors to get at them. They were released 5 days later, on January 20th, but they're far from out of harm's way. Some are said to be house-hopping or hiding in fields. 76crimes.com reported that these young men are in real danger should they be found.
But an Egyptian appeals court has dismissed the cases against all 26 men accused of debauchery, the usual charge since the country has no specific laws against gay sex, in December's infamous Cairo bathhouse raid. Although a lower court had already acquitted the men, the appeals court decision ends any further legal action against them. A lawyer for 7 of the men said they intend to sue sensationalist Cairo TV investigative reporter Mona Iraki, who allegedly arranged the raid by tipping off police that her cameras would be rolling as the men were paraded out of the bathhouse, half-naked, to waiting police vans. The lawyer said they'd also be filing a claim with the office that investigates police misconduct, alleging that the officer who led the raid fabricated testimony. The appeals court ruling doesn't signal any easing of the current crackdown on gay men in Egypt, however. President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi has stepped up enforcement of laws against debauchery since the military ousted his predecessor, Mohamed Morsi, of the Muslim Brotherhood, in 2013. The al-Sisi government has even pressured news outlets to increase reports on the arrests of people accused of so-called morality crimes, some say in an effort to appear more Islamic than the previous regime, and to discourage political stories that expose the government's failings.
In other news, the 7 justices of the California Supreme Court voted unanimously on January 23rd to prohibit judges in the state from participating in nonprofit youth groups that discriminate against a class of people. The youth group most affected by the move is undoubtedly the Boy Scouts of America. Although the BSA lifted its ban on gay youth last year, it still bans gay adult leaders, including young men who've been scouts for years and want to continue working with the organization as adult leaders after they turn 18. The state high court in 1996 banned judges from belonging to organizations that deny membership to people based on classifications like race, gender, or sexual orientation. An exception was made at the time for youth groups and religious organizations. The youth group's exception has now been removed. Under the state constitution, the California Supreme Court maintains its code of judicial ethics to establish standards of ethical conduct for state judges on and off the bench and for candidates for judicial office. The rule change will go into effect on January 21st, 2016.
And finally, a street in the city of Catania, Sicily is going to be renamed in the honor of pioneering British World War II codebreaker Alan Turing. Catania is the seventh largest metropolitan area in Italy and the second largest city in Sicily. The local council approved naming a road for Turing along with a few other men and women who, according to local reports, have made strong contributions to culture, art, society, or science. The council also unanimously approved naming a street after gay Italian singer Lucio Dalla, who died in 2012. Dubbed the father of the modern computer, Alan Turing's profile has been raised considerably since the premiere of The Imitation Game, the Oscar-nominated film about Turing cracking the encrypted German Enigma code, thereby playing a significant role in the defeat of the Nazis. Of course, Turing's story included being persecuted for his homosexuality later in life, which eventually drove him to suicide. There are also a number of roads and buildings named after Alan Turing in the UK, and there's a memorial statue of Turing sitting on a bench in Manchester's Sackville Park. To his left is the University of Manchester, and to his right is Canal Street, the main thoroughfare of the city's gay village.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 31st, 2015. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael Allen.
And I'm Carol Myers.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra.
Have you checked our website lately? For now playing information and behind the scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
This is Bishop Gene Robinson, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine.
Leaders of America's grand old party were packing for a definitely not gay old time on a trip to Israel this week, but their homophobic tour hosts may not get them to the political promised land they were expecting. While most of the mainstream U.S. press let the potential scandal slip by them, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow covered the unfolding saga not once, not twice, but three times on her program.
The basic story here is a Republican Party organized trip to Israel. Reince Priebus, chairman of the National Republican Party, sent out a letter to members of the RNC in late November, inviting them to go with the RNC on an expenses-paid trip to Israel. Now, going on a trip to Israel itself, not a problem. Going on this particular trip to Israel, I think this really is going to be a problem.
Counterfeit religions, alternative religions to Christianity, have no First Amendment right to the free exercise of religion.
That's a man named Brian Fisher with the American Family Association. The American Family Association is not your typical conservative religious right organization. Remember the sprinter? The guy in the Olympics, Tyson Gay? When the American Family Association posted an article on their website about Tyson Gay winning something in the Olympics, they changed his name to Tyson Homosexual. Because there's no such thing as gay. These are the people who said Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana, not because of geography or weather. They say Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana because of gay people. Gay people did Hurricane Katrina somehow. That's how anti-gay they are. Even for our conservative religious right in this country, the American Family Association is pretty out there.
Islam is like the Ebola virus. It's deadly. It's lethal. And all you can do with a virus like that, there's no cure for it.
What Reince Priebus and the RNC are doing with the American Family Association is that they are having the American Family Association pay for and organize the National Republican Party to send its members, members of the RNC, to go on a trip to Israel. Israel.
Hitler discovered that he could not get straight soldiers to be savage and brutal and vicious enough to carry out his orders, but that homosexual soldiers basically had no limits in the savagery and brutality they were willing to inflict on whoever Hitler sent them after. So he surrounded himself. Virtually all of the stormtroopers, the brown shirts, were male homosexuals.
Brian Fisher at the American Family Association, he has long had this elaborate theory about how Nazism and the Holocaust weren't so much a German thing or a Nazi thing. It was really a gay thing. The Israeli press, specifically the newspaper Haaretz, reported on Reince Priebus and the RNC taking a trip to Israel that has been paid for by this group that thinks that Jews don't have a right to practice their religion. And it wasn't really the Nazis that did the Holocaust. That was a gay thing. And perhaps, coincidentally, the American Family Association told us that they are firing Brian Fisher.
Now, BSA no longer stands for the Boy Scouts of America. It now stands for the Boy Sodomizers of America, because that is exactly what is going to happen. The infamous crime against nature now is going to be, it's been normalized, it's been endorsed, it's been embraced now by scouting leadership.
Brian Fisher has been the director of issue analysis for the American Family Association forever. He's basically quoted everywhere for years now as the organization's spokesman.
I don't think you will ever find a more directly demonic energy than when you deal with the homosexual agenda. You know, I've counseled friends who have taken positions that are going to put them kind of in the middle of the culture war on the issue of homosexuality. And I said, you know, you better buckle up, because you have no idea how intense the forces of opposition, how spiritually intense the forces that animate the homosexual lobby are. They're vicious. They are mean. You literally are staring into virtually the unvarnished energy of Satan himself when you come up against the forces that are pushing the homosexual agenda forward. They are jackbooted homo-fascist thugs who want to use the tyrannical and totalitarian power of the state to send men of faith to jail. And that, frankly, sounds a lot more like Nazi Germany than the United States of America.
Taking the chairman of the National Republican Party and a third of the membership of the Republican National Committee on a trip to Israel, and the Israeli press realizing that the Republican Party of the United States is coming to Israel as a guest of the Brian Fisher group. That apparently finally is a bridge too far for his long career. The president of the American Family Association telling us that Brian Fisher should no longer be described as the director of issue analysis for that group. He should not be quoted as a spokesman for the group. The American Family Association tells us that Brian Fisher is, and I quote, just a talk show host. But he is still their talk show host. The American Family Association confirmed to us that even though they fired Brian Fisher from his other jobs with their organization, they are still paying him to make his Brian Fisher magic on the radio. How is the National Republican Party, how is Reince Priebus going to explain why the National Republican Party is partnering with this group, taking a trip with this group that has argued on its radio shows that if, for example, you are a Jewish immigrant who wants to immigrate to the United States, the condition of your being allowed to emigrate to this country is that you must convert to Christianity.
Number one, those who came to our shores would be expected to adopt our religious values and our traditions. That would mean Christianity, the religion of their homeland and the God of their homeland. They would leave them behind.
So, hey, Jewish immigrants or potential immigrants of the world, you can emigrate to the United States. You just have to stop being a Jew. You have to become a Christian if you want to be allowed into this country. That is who the Republican Party is taking this trip with. But here's the ongoing problem for Reince Priebus and the National Republican Party. I mean, aside from the judgment it shows to put the National Republican Party in bed with a group like this in the first place, aside from that, when reporter Deborah Nussbaum-Cohen called the American Family Association for her report, the American Family Association put her in touch with David Lane, who is the American Family Association guy who is directly organizing this event in Israel starting on Saturday. And he told Deborah, quote, America was founded by Christians for the glory of God and the Christian faith. Quote, we were established as a Christian nation in the name of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith.
We all live in our own bubbles in many ways.
Reporter Deborah Nussbaum-Cohen.
And this is true for that community, the community that he's part of. So he seemed completely unaware of how that would play in the American Jewish community.
If the United States is a country for Christians only, and the purpose of the United States is specifically to advance the faith of Christians, and incidentally, not Jews, how does that fly in Israel? let alone among American Jews and Muslims and anybody else who's not Christian. Anybody.
Rachel Maddow's reports on the unholy alliance between the Republican National Committee and the American Family Association demonstrate what's played up as an eternal conflict between the Christian and the queer. But is there an antidote for the anti-LGBT poison spewed by such religious right hate groups? The author of a new book on religion for the left of us shared some healing words with This Way Out's Steve Pride.
James Alexander Langteau attended the Pat Robertson-founded Regent University in Virginia, and after graduation was hired as a producer on the 700 Club. Odd choices for a man struggling with his sexuality. So not surprisingly, since coming out, the TV producer turned author has a lot to say about God and acceptance.
I'm James Alexander Langteau, and I've written the book Gay Conversations with God, straight talk on fanatics, fags, and the God who loves us all.
When did you know you were gay?
I guess I'd known since I was a really little kid. I remember just being drawn to men. Older men that would be visiting the household or older brothers, I would just want to be around them, fascinated by them. Nothing sexual, obviously, but just the affection and attention I was really drawn to. And then I remember when like new boys moved into town, I would ride my bike way across this little small town to go sort of stalk them. You know, I'd be 6-7 years old and I'd decide I needed to play tennis at their tennis court rather than the one right outside my house so that I could possibly run into them. So it became clear pretty early on. The typical sleepovers in the tent with your best friend. And I remember, actually, I don't think I've shared this with anyone, but my best friend and I got in big trouble in third grade for holding hands walking down the hall. And I felt so shamed. I mean, I just loved him and he loved me. And we were just in a tiny town in Wisconsin, walking hand in hand down the hall. And I think that forever really scarred me. And I think it also set that sort of fag word in motion.
You began your career in Christian broadcasting. Any surprises coming out to old friends?
I'm constantly surprised in talking to people that seem incredibly intelligent, who are Bible-believing Christians. The minute you start to speak logically about the fact that, you know, one of my chapters in this book is about the Peter vision, where Peter has a vision where what was once called abominable is no longer. God said, what I've called clean, let no man call unclean. And on a Wednesday in Old Testament or New Testament time, he changes our law and says, I'm welcoming the Gentiles in and you no longer need to be circumcised. So come on in. Well, that was huge. Maybe he's saying, yeah, at one time this was a law, but I'm more concerned about the hearts of my children. I'm more concerned about being in a relationship with them rather than who they're sleeping with or what they identify with. These are my sons and my daughters. I love them, and I want to welcome them in. And Jesus, you know, made it very clear that the greatest law of all is the law of love. There's no greater law than the law of love. So the lesser law always bows to the greater law of love. And his love for his gay kids is so rich that I believe he's changing that old, old law when the world needed to be populated. And, you know, there are 40 Jews bumbling around the planet. You don't want boys boinking boys. You need more Jews. Nowadays, we've got a lot of people, so it may be okay. And you start to have that conversation with somebody, and they go blank. Their eyes get glazed over, and they can't hear it, even though there's a scriptural precedent.
Well, 2,000 years ago, we were not the only abomination. It was a very different time.
Everything was about procreating and survival, making sure you didn't die. And so many of those laws are good. There was a basis for not eating pork. There was trichinosis and a lot of things. But I think if you're going to choose one law and say homosexuals be damned, what about the ones right next to it that say if your teenage son is rebellious, take him outside the city gates and stone him to death? We'd have no teenagers. You can't cherry pick which laws that you want to abide by. Jesus said, you either obey all the laws or you let me fulfill the law. And it's that simple. I say in the book, this book has a foreskin instead of a foreword, and I say that I don't want to be a Christian anymore. I want to be known by my love, not my hate. And for a while I was saying I wasn't a Christian. But now I realize I am a total believer in Jesus, who was bloodied by the ignorance of religious men. And he did that without an ounce of malice. And he's a hero, my hero. So I think that I'm witnessing the very same thing happening to my brothers and sisters. They're being beaten and bloodied beyond belief by the big bat of religion. Not just Christian, but lots of religions. And most of them have to come to a place of saying, all right, I have got to give God the finger and be true to myself or live in hell. And then go to hell. So it's just a living hell. And I am really encouraging with this book. I'm saying, you know what? Forget all the ignorance that you've heard. Forget the harsh words of judgment and wrath. These are not true words. The words are, please don't give God the finger. Give him your hand instead, because he loves you and just as you are.
What do you want readers to take away from Gay Conversations with God?
Maybe what makes this book, Gay Conversations with God, different than other books on the subject are that I'm not arguing scripture. I'm not smart enough to do that. I've lived a lifetime as a gay man who battled myself about being gay and loving God, and finally had an epiphany that, wait a minute, God is in love with me, and I'm gay. The math isn't working out. So for me, it's experiential. And I realize that God loves gay people. And secondly, that we've got to stop the madness. We can shout at each other till the end of time, you know, turn or burn, or we're here, we're queer, get used to it, and nobody's listening. So I'm really asking the gay community to start, because all great fashions start with the gays, to start to just forgive and love Christians, even if they only return anger.
This has been a Gay Conversation with James Alexander Langtoe, author of Gay Conversations with God, Straight Talk on Fanatics, Fags, and the God Who Loves Us All. I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michael Allen, Carol Myers, Gene Robinson, and Steve Pride contributed program material, Willie Henderson and Friends sang God Loves Gay People Too, and Tim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentham, and our listener supporters for making this program possible. Visit us at thiswayout.org for special offers, portraits of the crew, social media links, and more. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on Wild Planet Radio Portland, Oregon, WMPG Portland, Maine, 3ECB Croydon, Victoria, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!